Today on a life-changing episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a husband falls into the dark pits of clinical depression, it feels to those around him that there's no way to bring him back. And at the height of his suffering, he chooses to take his own life. The only problem, the spirit world had other plans for this man. Did the ghost of a deceased loved one prevent this man from dying? That's one of the many questions we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download the podcast. And if you really like the show and you want the archive, the thousands and thousands and thousands of episodes, which is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, advanced episodes of the show, EPP bonus episodes, if you want all that, go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. $5 a month gets you access to all of it. And you can start binging away. All of it commercial free, too. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Well, Tony, so the other day I went into my murder she shed.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, I have a creepy shed in my backyard that we affectionately call the murder she shed.
Yes.
And it's right next to my nice shed, which is weird. But I keep my bird seed in there. So I get my bird feeders down. I go in there to fill them up, and I keep my bird seed in a big plastic container because I don't want any critters in it.
Yeah.
And it was creepier than a ghost in there because something had eaten into the top of the container.
Ooh.
And I'm like, mice, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But it was like 6 inches in diameter. Like, mice don't need all that.
No.
I stood there for a minute and I'm like, okay, well, I can't go in there. Like, it's creepy. Like, I could go in there with it just being a creepy shed, but I cannot bring myself to go in there thinking there's some kind of critter now living in with my bird feed. Like, I can't even go close to it.
It's having a party with the bird feed.
And I'm like, I just set the bird feeders down and I'm going to have to ask someone to come over and open the lid and see what's going on.
Is there like a flashbang in there?
I cannot do it. I cannot do it.
You should do it as a...
It's going to jump out at me.
It'd be a great TikTok for you. Carol opens the thing on camera. I think that would be great.
Carol ain't opening up no damn thing.
That would be amazing.
It would be... Somebody else is opening up Carol's thing. Yeah. Oh, that sounds almost like a porno video. Some weird thing. Like, I don't know what kind of porno video that would be, but
something involving the murder she shed. It'd be really
it's
dark.
It's just funny because it's like, I can go in that creepy shed. Like, I don't have, like, it is creepy, but I kind of like it. And, but now that I think there's some critter living in that.
So you're cool with it there like being some sort of dark entity in there, but as,
I don't think I think it's like an old man ghost who likes to tinker.
He's looking for his crutches.
His crutches are still there. You know, I think he likes to hang out in there and work on things. Like, I just feel like it's a friendly person.
Well, someday you go out there, there's like a birdhouse waiting for you, like he made it for you.
Oh, wouldn't it be weird if I go out there and my bird feeders are filled up?
Wouldn't it be weird if you go out there and there's an old man in your little your container of the bird seed and he's just been like decaying in there forever?
That would be weird.
Blew your mind.
But like it had done a good job. Like, I've had that back there for a year and a half at least.
Yeah.
And I thought I had a really great solution. But now I looked on Amazon and there's some kind of impenetrable sort of containers.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be getting one of those.
And the Titanic was unsinkable.
I know. It was an impenetrable ship.
So you'll be even more scared of whatever breaks through the impenetrable container That would be really, if I lived there, I would like sneak in your backyard and figure out a way to do that in the middle of the night. It's been like, I'm just going to fuck with her. Something broke.
Oh my God. That would scare the shit out of me.
And there's like three claw marks in all different places all over. But it's just in threes.
Then I wouldn't touch it. I'd be like, it has claw marks on it. I can't touch it. There's something in it. But the creepy one would be, with no indication, and you open it up, the impenetrable one,
yeah,
and something jumps out at you.
Why, yeah, creepy. That, or you open it up and there's like a pentagram in birdseed, and
feed me.
And in the middle is like a sacrificed bird of the, yeah, that would be creepy.
that would be creepy.
It would be. It would
for
be.
Sure.
That would be creepy. Let's go to our first story of the day. It starts out and says, my husband has suffered from clinical depression and anxiety for his entire life. Through the years, he's had several meltdowns that have created situations that have caused him to consider suicide. Thankfully, he got through those difficulties and got medication, which allowed him to get back on track mentally. This past December, our primary physician retired, leaving us to find another doctor to meet our needs as a physician. My husband chose a young doctor who had a good reputation. On the first visit to the doctor, took it upon himself to change his meds without contacting his psychiatrist about the reasons behind the dosages and types of prescriptions. He took him off the one medication that my husband needed to keep his mental state on an even keel, and then doubled another med which caused respiratory issues. My husband has COPD. In the next 3 weeks, I watched again as he fell down into the black abyss of depression and severe anxiety. I knew when I got up on May 13th that something ominous was going to happen this day. His mental state had deteriorated to the point that he no longer cared about anything. I, following my gut feeling, called his best friend's wife to see if his friend was busy for the afternoon and asked if he could keep my husband busy for the afternoon until I could come home after work. He did that, taking him to do some errands, take a ride to see a new construction around the lake. He returned home around 4:30 and decided that today was the day he'd end this misery he was living. I kept calling and talking to him from work, trying to keep him engaged until I could get home. He then makes the remark that nothing mattered and it was over. I showed the message to my boss and told her I had to go now. I knew how he was going to try to complete his suicide. I knew he was in the garage, in the car by instinct. His father committed suicide this way. I opened the garage door from the other side of the house, knowing I could open it as soon as the signal connected, and didn't pull into the garage, but left the car in the driveway. I ran into the garage, opened the door, grabbed the keys out of the ignition. As things progressed, I had to call the police to get him to the hospital for treatment, and then he was referred to the mental hospital in a nearby community. He spent a week there. During this time, he had many counseling sessions. One of them was a psychiatrist that told him he was a miracle man, and that he had survived COVID in the fall and now carbon monoxide poisoning. He informed my husband that he should have been dead after 15 minutes, but after 45 was still alive and relatively coherent. He finished his counseling session with the doctor, then told me about it. I had a short time to visit, and my nap time was about up. I got into my car to go home, and on the way home, my father-in-law's face appeared beneath my rearview mirror. He's the one who had committed suicide by CO2. He told me that he had been with my husband the whole time. He was in the garage. I believe he's the reason my husband is here today. I told my husband about it and he shuddered in disbelief. Love your podcasts. Keep them coming. That would be really startling to have the dead father-in-law show up on that mirror.
Oh my God. Like, and then you wreck your car.
Yeah.
That would scare you.
Yeah.
The whole story though is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything leading up to that, and you know, the fact that he didn't, and I hope he's getting the help he needs now, and the medication's back,
yeah,
in balance, and he's on the right meds, and because it's so hard to get the medication right,
yeah,
and to get people to take the medication,
yep.
Because a lot of times they feel real numb or feel funny on it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I really feel for people who have to live that life every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their loved ones, because that's a lot,
yeah,
to go through. And then to go home and your husband, like, you find that?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Huh. But then it does make you wonder, like, how was he able to survive that?
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to think his dad was there.
And I agree, probably was. And that's how sometimes those sort of things, you know, where everything else says there's no way this should have worked out this way, they do sometimes. And yeah, I think there's some intervention there from time to time.
I'd have to talk to the dad, say, okay, it's cool if you want to come talk to me, but yeah, don't do it while I'm driving.
Yeah, no shit. What's scary to me, though, is how you have these sort of things and how, and I won't go on a soapbox too long, but when it comes to these sort of drugs that we take, you know, SSRIs and all different stuff, they really should be monitored and given out by a psychiatrist, not just the general care practitioners. I mean, do they know some of it? Yeah, but that's, you know, it's like Little League versus a Major League in terms of knowing the ins and outs of that sort of stuff, just as anybody would know if that's like the one area that you're focused on. And it's so scary where you have like people, you know, ask your doctor about this, do this, do that. And then you have some of these doctors who will be like, yeah, let's take you off that. Let's move this over here without, you know, really having the insight on what that could mean and what those sort of things can do to a person's brain very quickly.
Well, and then, you know, if you also want to get all your medication through the same pharmacist, because the pharmacist should be able to tell, like, you know, you shouldn't be taking this with that.
Mm-hmm.
And are you really being prescribed both of these things? Because something's not right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, there's people out there who really know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And getting those medications right is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard.
No, I know. I take some myself for depression and anxiety. And it's, you know, I never did for years. And then I decided, you know what? I think I want to do this. Something's got to change. And I tell you, it was a great decision. I thought I could just kind of handle it on my own forever. And it was like, I think there's an imbalance going on here. And it just really, it's like, shit. I remember one day, I was working outside or something. It's just a sunny day. And I'm like, God, it's like the first time in a long time I'm like really enjoying like just working outside, and it's a sunny day, and I'm just, it was like a veil was kind of lifted, and in the right setting with the right, you know, doctors and all that, you know, they can be amazing, but they're not for everybody either.
And I think that a lot of people have a stigma against them, like it makes them a weaker person, or, you know, I don't need that stuff, I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
But man, if that can help you.
I look at it like, are you a weaker person? You know, if you can't see out of one eye, does that make you a weaker person? You know, are you a weaker person if you need a hearing? No, it's like, this is the cards you were dealt. This is what you have. And, you know, if there's some ways to improve that now through science and medicine, why not live a better life? You know, but again, there's reactions, and I respect everybody's choices of what they want to do or don't do. But, you know, it's just amazing the things that exist today that, you know, otherwise, you know, I would be, you know, that crazy old Tony guy out there that has got the arcade over there and is just wanders around the his yard shouting a ghost.
Oh, that old Tony.
That old Tony. Yes. I only did that for 1 week. No, I'm kidding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. All right, we're going to continue in with the story you heard on yesterday's episode. Claudia has called in several parts to this story, so let's pick up where we left off.
Hey, Tony, you're fucking awesome. Love you. Love you and Carol. You can cut this out, honestly. I'm actually calling back to finish up the story that I just sent in. But getting back to where I got cut off at, because your voicemail only takes like, I don't know how many minutes, but getting back to the where I left or where I got cut off at. So I was actually talking about me entering a field where the underground railroad tracks had history, and how my sister and I and my brother-in-law, Brandon, and my nephew, who was only 2 years old, we entered a field that my brother-in-law was living behind. We entered this field. So where I left off, I'm going to pick back up from where I left off. So where I left off was the older couple that was coming up the gravel path. And as this older couple was coming up the gravel path, married couple, obviously, because they were very comfortable with each other, that comfortableness between them, they were walking up the path, and they would have continued all the way up the path. But seeing, and they had looked at us, me, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew. Of course, my nephew was only 2 years old, so they're not even regarding him, but they're looking at my sister, myself, and Brandon, my sister's baby daddy, and they obviously that see that we're looking towards them or something behind them. And honestly, it was something behind them because it was following close to behind them. And honestly, when I had seen them, I had noticed that black figure, which is a shadow person. I didn't realize that was common until I started watching paranormal shows and hearing your podcast, because I've had a lot of experiences, so wanted to understand better about these experiences. And I realized that a lot of people have had experiences, and a lot of people are ashamed of talking about them because they don't really feel like they can actually talk to people. But anyways, I'll get back to that later. So I see this, what I thought was a person dressed all in black coming up the path, following this older couple, and they had turned around. They looked at it because they obviously noticed that we were looking at it or something, either at them or behind them. So they were curious. They turned around. This couple was about, I don't know, early 50s. They turned around. They saw what we saw. And as soon as they turned around, they cut into the field and they just hauled ass. I mean, they would have continued up the path. I could tell that was what they were planning. But as soon as they turned around and they saw what was following behind them, they cut right into the field that we were in. And they picked up pace and they crossed that field so quick. And I, to be honest, wasn't even focused on them. I had noticed that they had crossed into the field, but I was focused on what I thought was a human being that was following them, or at least enjoying a nice day. I was fixated on that. My sister and Brandon, they were looking at the same damn thing. And we never said anything to one another. We were just looking at it, just kind of, I'm thinking in my own head, why is this person dressed in black? But at the end of this dirt gravel path, there's the last tree. The last tree was shaped like a Y. So try to imagine like a tree, and as the branches come out, it turns into a Y, like a shape Y. So whatever this thing was, which was a shadow person, it was a spirit, obviously, it came right behind this tree, and all I could see was this black figure standing behind the Y of the tree, like where the tree branches off into a Y, like a letter Y. So I'm looking at it, and I realized even before it hit the end of that tree, I realized there's no fingers, there's no nose, there's no eyes, there's no skin color, there's no ears. I don't see a mouth. I don't see a nose. And I realize that I'm looking. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like this is weird. And as soon as it hits the Y and it's looking at me, I realize there's no face. There's nothing there. It's just a black silhouette of a man. Now, I had noticed while my sister, myself, and Brandon were looking at it, I had noticed before this spirit hit the last tree that was shaped like a Y, my sister turned away and she focused on my nephew and she didn't want nothing to do with it. And I figured that, but I didn't pay too much attention. I was more focused on what the hell is this thing that I'm looking at? Like this, is not a human, because I figured it, that was not a human as it came closer to the end of the path, especially when that older couple crossed into the field and they hauled ass quick. So when this thing stood behind a tree, I got this feeling like this is what my brother-in-law, who's standing right next to me, was saying that he had an experience with. The weird experiences that he had had on that property, this had to be what it was. This is a spirit. And I knew instantly that this was a spirit because it had no face. It had no fingers. It had no physical features. Nothing that you could describe it as a human being. So I'm looking at it, and as I'm looking at it, I had had a 1 year prior to this experience, I had had a very, I'm not even going to call it a paranormal experience. It was a supernatural experience, but I don't even want to get into that because that has to do with heaven and hell, or should I say in my experience, due to how it happened, hell and heaven. But I had my experience a year before that. So when I'm looking at this thing, all of a sudden, I feel like I'm pulled out of my body. I'm standing right behind my body, and I can see something hovering. I can only see the top of my head from my head to the ground, but I can see something hovering shoulder length. Like they're wearing some sort of tunic, like angels, what an angel would wear. Angels wear like that robe looking cloth, like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just what an angel would wear. They have a tunic, and all I can see is a white tunic standing shoulder length to where I'm standing, but I can't see anything above my head, but I can see something behind me in a white tunic. And all I can see is its feet in this white robe or a tunic. And I only saw that vision for like 2 seconds. And for years, that confused me. And as soon as I saw that vision, I was pushed right back into my body. And as soon as I was pushed in back into my body, I remember feeling that experience of what I had experienced a year prior. It was the hell and heaven experience. And I remember hearing a voice saying, just like the voice who warned me before I entered that property, are you going to see anything today? It was the same voice. And it said, remember what you went through and remember that God is always with you. And as soon as I felt that, I was right back into my body and I felt bold. And I looked at this spirit that's hiding behind this tree, looking at me from the Y of the tree, because the tree is shaped like a Y, and that's what I heard, is a voice say to me, remember what you experienced last year. God is always with you.
That's where it stops. Let's address something here quickly. I wear tunics every day, and
That's why everybody always confuses you with an angel.
Did not appreciate, like, nobody wears every day. Which tunic am I putting on?
And they're all like, is that an angel? No.
It's no, Tony.
He's likes into tunics.
Tunics. Yeah.
I think I have a tunic somewhere. Anyways, okay. That is a really interesting story that took a really big twist I did not see coming at the end of that story.
Elf makes an appearance in part 3.
What's it? You're going to?
No, Elf. Remember Elf?
Oh, it's like you're going to because you're in a tunic.
No, Elf is going to make an appearance in the part 3 of the story. So just so you're aware.
Will Ferrell?
ALF. No, not Elf.
Oh, Alf.
I'm talking with ALF. Elf. Yes, from Miramax.
Well, because it's interesting because she sees the whatever it is and then realizes it's not human. And then she kind of has this weird flashback thing to an experience that happened a year ago that involves heaven and hell. And that was almost like, I don't know. I thought that was the part that really interested me. I was like, so almost by taking her back that, and she said then she became very bold, but that gave her that, I don't know. It's interesting how you could have an experience that kind of helped you understand
the previous experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the two things, like that other thing needed to happen. Mm-hmm. Because a year later, she encounters this creepy ass thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you're okay, basically.
It kind of, yeah, it puts some context to it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't see that coming. A little out of body experience, but really brief.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
But I mean, I've also been, you know, because I've heard weird voices in my head that didn't need medication.
Yeah.
I don't think, but you know, just weird shit that has happened.
Sure.
That at the time I was like, what the hell did that mean? And then with time I realized what it meant.
And that's how it works so much. It's not even like at the moment you even realize, it's like, oh, okay. That's what that was. Yeah. Good story. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go to another caller. 855-853-4802, the number. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. This is Brittany from Southern California. And I have a story to share with you. It's not a long story. It's a short one. And it's a little embarrassing and PG-13. So if you can't use it on the podcast, I totally understand. But, well, here's a little background on my house. It's a regular housing tract. It was built about 20 years ago, so it's fairly new still. We were the only people to live here. And, yeah, so that's my house right there. So 3 years ago, I met my boyfriend at the community college, and, you know, it was a whirlwind romance. We fell in love right away, whatnot. And with the school schedules, we were able to see each other during the middle of the day, because he would have a morning class and I would have a night class. And my parents and brother would be at work until about 5 p.m. So we had a little while to spend together. So during the time he would come over from the college and we would just hang out at my house and whatnot. And a few times, you know, like romance would happen. And during it, there would be, like I said, my house isn't old, but there would be tapping and knocking on the wall. And I disregarded it as just the house settling. We were both like, oh, it's maybe just the house settling. It's nothing to worry about. And so on, and we just disregarded it. And then one time we were, you know, the romance was happening again, and we just, probably 5 minutes into it, we heard a loud bang, like as if someone was smacking their hand against the wall. And simultaneously, we both heard someone yell, "Hey!" And it was coming from my parents' room, and we were the only ones in the house, so we thought that was pretty. But the "hey" was like a man's voice. It was very deep and angry. And the hand, like, it sounded like it slammed against the wall at full force. I'm going to try to recreate the "hey" as best as I can. But it came out like, bam, and then, "hey!" So we were very scared. And like I said, it came from my parents' room, but we were the only people in the house. So we immediately stopped what we were doing, and we, you know, we looked in my parents' room, but there was obviously no one there. So we didn't know what to make of it. And it couldn't have been a neighbor because it would have been muffled through the wall. Like, it sounded like it came directly from my parents' room. So that was pretty freaky. We ended up, you know, saying goodbye later on. I went to my night class. He went back home. And I thought about it a few years later. Like, it just kind of went on the back burner of my mind. And I think that maybe it was spirit of one of my grandparents, like one of my grandpas, because my dad, he likes to keep a lot of old memorabilia that belonged to his dad, such as, you know, old hats, a pair of shoes, and some things from the Second World War in his room. And I feel as though maybe my grandpa was guarding the house and he didn't approve of what was going on. So therefore, you know, he made his presence known that we had to stop what we were doing because we were being disrespectful to the house, especially since my parents aren't home. So basically after that incident, my boyfriend refuses to spend the night at my house or come over to do anything like that because he's just so scared. And I'm scared too, not going to lie. But it's been, you know, 3 years later, we haven't had an experience. I haven't heard any more knocking or tapping on the wall. So, like I said, I think it was just probably my grandpa disapproving of what was going on. So thanks for listening to my story. I hope you guys can use it on the podcast. If not, I totally understand. And I'd just like to hear your opinion on what happened. All right. Thank you. Bye.
So, yeah, I don't think Grandpa was... What's even creepier, though, is that he's, like, hanging out, like... Did he leave the room then after he made his noise?
Well, because had it not been for the bang on the, yeah. like the something hitting the wall,
yeah.
I would have thought it had been Dad, like, had set up a video camera,
yeah.
like a Ring camera.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah.
Hey!
Yeah.
But, you know, she didn't say if it just happened that one time mm-hmm. or if they had been romantic. I like how she
put it. Yeah, I know.
When romance happened, if it happened multiple times or yeah. just that one time, but it would kind of ruin the mood.
Yeah. what would make it even worse? You're hearing like things like banging across the room, like stop, like that sort of thing. But if you started, like, you heard there's somebody, you felt a presence in the room and you heard what sounds like, you know, a guy kind of doing his thing.
Oh, no.
As you're doing solo romance, as you're doing the romance over there, and all of a sudden it sounds like somebody's doing a solo romance next, like, what the fuck is it? There's a ghost doing that next, like, that would be a nightmare.
Oh my God, you'd have to move.
And no matter what you do, you're entitled. Like, that's like a bad, like, made for TV movie right there. Someone who's cursed by that, no matter where they go, no matter who they're with, no matter what goes on, there's always like the sounds of ghosts getting off
soloing.
To it.
Only you. Oh my God. Well, when she did bring out, now I get like, here's the problem. You just put that in my head. And I'm going to go to bed tonight yeah. and I'm going to have some bizarre dream. But anyway, but like the fact that her dad had all those like things
yeah.
in the house, I don't know. Like I just have it. We had a conversation about that the other night with one of my friends because she likes to go antiquing. And she lives in a house that I probably couldn't live in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you afraid you're going to bring home something? She goes, oh, yeah, all the time. I'm afraid of that. And like, that's why I don't bring a lot of shit like that in my house.
Yeah.
Because it could be like some old man, like kids these days, knock it off. I just think that's the weirdest thing, though, for a ghost to do. Like,
yeah.
it just gets pissed off because you're having romance.
Like I said, it could be worse.
Or maybe it was the house. And like, Mom, Dad, this is an awkward question. But like, so my new boyfriend and I were doing it the other day and we heard this thing. And the guy was like, hey, has that ever happened to you guys?
Happens all the time. Happens all the time. We know Grandpa likes to watch. It's kind of fucked up, but we just kind of we let him do it, you know.
Can you ignore it? And can I still continue to bring my boyfriend over for romance in the middle of the day when nobody's home
to have romance?
That made me laugh. I like that they were having some romance.
I loved it. Even if there was a ghostly family member watching.
Which is super creepy.
Not at all. That's completely normal. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. And to help keep us on the air, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening.